Yeah.
Ah.
Worked out well. Oh, geez. Yes. That's always a problem. Don't you love it?
Welcome to Advent at Advent. As we
join in the lighting of the Advent candle. I'm waiting for the Nagies. All right, we'll improvise. All right. This works well. The Lord is our faith and our life. And his love shine in our hearts.
Our hope is in the coming of the Lord.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The first candle we light on the Advent wreath has been named the prophecy candle, for it represents the period of waiting that preceded the birth of Christ. Its light announces the waiting period that anticipates Christmas and honors those who first spoke the promise of the Christ child. Their words sparked hope in the hearts of the faithful for many generations.
Let us pray that our faith may be strengthened for the coming of the Lord.
Father in heaven, our hearts desire the warmth of your love and our minds are searching for the light of your word. Increase our longing for Christ our Savior and give us the strength to grow in our faith, so that the day of his coming may find us prepared and filled with joy. Amen.
O seed of David, promised Christ, take root in our hearts and yield us strong hope. Come. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
God promises through the words of Isaiah that he will usher in an age of perfect peace with no need for weapons, whether of iron or of the pen. No divisions will exist among the people. All will be one in the variety and in their differences. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as a chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of the God, the word of God. Thanks. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Sorry about that. Okay, on page 3, we'll find Psalm 122. We will read in unison. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Now our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is an entity with itself, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, the assembly of Israel, to praise the name of the Lord. For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and quietness within your towers. For my brethren and companions' sake, I pray for your prosperity. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good. Paul cautions his readers to check for their own weakness, to pursue thoughts, habits, relationships, and situations that will challenge them to being alert, rather than to falling asleep and living in darkness. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
First hint of Christmas. Beautiful music. The Holy Gospel of the Lord according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Reading from Matthew 24, starting at verse 37. And this is a time when Jesus, near the end of his time on earth, is telling the disciples about what to expect, what's to come toward the end. And he says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah." Now, to stop there for a second, what would the days of Noah have been like? Not for Noah's family, but for everyone else. And then he continues, "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. The Gospel of the Lord. Glad you could be here today. Here we are at the very beginning of the season of Advent, and it's a time of preparation. And your family and extended family and friends will prepare in wholly, totally different ways. For decades, when we had children and Tammy was with me, the month of December was a month in which she planned for all year in terms of she had decorations for Christmas through the whole house. She literally started in the beginning of November to set up the house. And it was something that she really treasured and loved. Since she went to be with Jesus and since I moved in with my brother and his wife also went to heaven, we talked a couple of weeks ago, what are we? These two now individual men going to do about Christmas decorations? Are we going to maintain the tradition and practices of our wives? Are we going to beautify the house with one huge tree in the living area and smaller trees in every room with lights and decorations and Christmas paraphernalia all over the house? Are we going to put great lights outside that will cause amazement to our neighbors? And we talked together and we decided, nah. We bought a tree this high that goes on a cabinet and a nativity set that's quite beautiful. It took us 10 minutes to decorate the house, and it will take us 10 minutes to undecorate in January. Now, I just got an amen. Thank you very much. Now, all of that is insignificant. For Tammy, she loved the anticipation of all the beautiful treasures that she had accumulated over the years. But we prepare in different ways. As children, I remember the anticipation of getting together with the family and all the wonderful foods that we would have. And Jesus is saying, in preparation for a second coming, prepare that way, anticipate. But understand that you don't know when it'll be. But prepare yourself in the same way that you prepare your house, prepare your heart for his coming. And it's a wonderful thing. In the liturgy this morning, and we'll be using this during Advent, we will confess together. We remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And I want to focus on that part this morning, the very end. We await his coming in glory. That's what Jesus is talking about prior to his departure into heaven. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about this. And he says, most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, Scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? For from before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. But you must not forget this one thing. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is really not slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he has been patient for your sake. And to me, that's a part of what we understand for ourselves, that there is an ultimate timing that the Father has for when he returns. We don't know what that will be, when that will be, but we're to anticipate and prepare so that when it comes, and this is the thing to me that is so fascinating, when you contrast with the days of Noah, Jesus was saying it would be like that. And in the days of Noah, for most of the people on the earth, times were normal. There was eating and drinking, there was giving in marriage. But for the people of faith, and at that time, that was a family of just eight. Times were not the same. There was preparation for what Noah believed God had told him to prepare for, to build this ridiculous boat in the middle of the desert. And yet he did it, he prepared. And that's a part of what I would like you to think about for yourself this Advent season. How are you preparing? You've not been called to build a boat in the desert, but you have been called to prepare yourself for the end of the age, for that moment when the sky, the clouds part and Jesus appears again. The Bible says that he would return in the same way that he left when the disciples saw him from the Mount of Olives. And so that's such an important thing to grasp. We don't know when, we just know that. And Jesus told his disciples that this strange thing that I want to talk about a little bit, one will be taken, one will be left. Two men will be here, two women will be here, one taken, one left. Now, I certainly don't have all of the truth about it, but here's, I believe, a part of what it's there. Number one, salvation is not by association. When Jesus comes back, you will not say to him, I'm a member of Advent Episcopal Church, therefore, I have a free pass. And to me, that's a part of what he is saying. One taken, one is left. One taken, one is left. That salvation is by relationship. That what happens at the end, the question will be, have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior? And if the answer is yes, then you're the one taken. You're the one who has prepared himself or herself for that day, which will be like the day of Noah, when most of the world will not understand what's about to happen, but you have prepared, in effect, your boat, your ship, which is your trust in Jesus for your eternal security. And then the second thing that to me is so important, Jesus' return will be unexpected. Two here, one taken, one left. We don't know when, but we want to be prepared that when it happens, that we are ready to ascend into the air. And one of the things that I love about what he is saying is, in both situations, the people were at work. They were doing normal life. And we are called to do normal life, but to live in such a way that our understanding is that we are citizens of an unseen kingdom, and the day will come when that kingdom will be revealed to the whole world. And we're to live as a part of that kingdom now, and also awaiting for the fact that Jesus will return. He tells the story of it'll be like a thief in the night. If you had known that a thief was coming to your house tonight, you'd be locked and loaded. And in the same way, anticipating Jesus' return, we ought to be prepared, knowing that he said it would happen, the disciples said he would return, the angels gave testimony to it. So it's just a matter of when, not if. Paul wrote about it, and it's very similar to what Jesus said in 1 Thessalonians 5. For you yourself know well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. Having been through labor with my wife, the onset is usually quite sudden. You know that a child is coming, but you don't know exactly when. And that's kind of how Paul says the second coming will be. Understand that in some ways we are pregnant with the kingdom of God. And the day will come when that kingdom will emerge for all to see. And we're to live in light of that. We're not to ignore our life on earth at all, but we're to live as citizens of an unseen kingdom, almost as though we have green cards while we're temporarily on earth. We ought to always be expecting his return, looking for him, waiting for him, but also living fully the life that we've been called to live. Again, think about what we'll be sharing in the liturgy. We remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. So think about why that is, why it has been centuries rather than years, as the early disciples thought. Generations of people have been given the opportunity to repent and turn to the Lord. The initial disciples thought that it would be very soon. Paul said at one point in one of his writings, don't be married unless you have to, because it will complicate your life. And he didn't say that because marriage was bad, but because he believed very much that the time was short before Jesus would return. So consider all of the billions of people who have been born in the past 2,000 years and confessed faith in Jesus wouldn't be assured of their relationship to him without those years and years of waiting before his return. We remain in that position of knowing that Jesus is returning, just not knowing when. It's sort of like, we see this regularly on TV, where a service person will surprise their child at school or at a family celebration. They will be hidden in a box or dressed up as a character. I knew that my dad is coming back, I don't know when, but when I see him, I'm amazed. But this is what emotionally and relationally I've been waiting for. That's like the call on us to wait for Jesus to come back. We ought to live our lives with the promise of his return, but not be surprised when the skies open. We hear the trumpet call. The trumpet call is what we await, but we live our lives in anticipation of that, but also we live our lives fully as witnesses of what we believe, being examples of what it means to be a Jesus follower. Here's what I'd like you to think about in closing. The only hope for the future that the world has is through Christ. Education is not going to save anyone. I have multiple degrees. They have not brought salvation to me at all. The government is not going to save us in spite of what current candidates for the office of president say. The government is not the answer. The United Nations is not capable of saving the world. Science is not the answer. Science is incredible, as is technology, but they cannot bring redemption. Dealing with climate change redemptively may be important for the planet, but it's not the ultimate answer for our future. And finally, there's only one who can save the world, who can save you and I, and that's our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I encourage you this Advent season to reflect on that. Are you at a place where you know that when Jesus returns, that you are going with him into eternity? It comes through confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, and then living as a witness of a kingdom that others can't see. It changes everything. Every time we share in the Lord's Supper, we are saying, Lord, I believe that Jesus lived and died for me, and I accept his life as payment for my failure. Let's stand now and confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people are found on page 6 in your bulletin. We'll be using Form 4. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the services of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially those listed on our prayer list. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us recite together the following prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our leadership in the shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that with one another. Good to see you.
I have an order to get you under control. The first note of order, I commend you, Paul, on your decorating. At a man's heart. Peter.
Good morning. A couple of things. I want to thank Jason and Coa Evans for preparing the Mexican fiesta we had last night, and to thank all those that came to the dinner last night. I think we had a good time and a very good meal. Secondly, gentlemen of Advent, this is short notice too. We gather on Monday the 9th of December at 6:30 for good food and conversation. We're going to Mulligan's Pub and Grill, which is in Avon. It is just south of I-90 when you come off the exit at 611. BJ's store is there as well in the same shopping center. So if you want to kill two birds with one stone, you can go to BJ's and buy stuff for Christmas and then go to dinner, or Conversely, go to dinner and then go to BJ's, whichever. And lastly, Dar would like me to ask all of you to join the choir singing the offertory at the time, which is hymn number 60, which is called Creator of the Stars of Night. It's in your hymnal number 60. Thank you.
I have another announcement. Go ahead, it's all yours.
Friday night, December 6th, is a concert by the Women's Chorus from Ball and Wallace. It's at the United Methodist Church of Berea. It's at 170 Seminary Boulevard, and it's at 7 p.m. Thank you, and it's free.
Just a quick note, if you remember Mary Lou Dixon, she's going to have surgery, quite complicated surgery, coming up December 6th. Keep her in your prayers. She's very nervous about it. Other than that, poinsettias are still on sale. If you haven't got yours in, you can get them in. We'll have them up here for display. And I think that's it. Anybody else? Once? Twice? Peace of the Lord be with you.
I do have one announcement. During the season of Advent, I will not be singing anywhere. And that's free. It's first Sunday of the month we honor birthdays and anniversaries during the month. Any birthdays, first of all, come forward if it's you. And I see two anyway. Maybe three. Wonderful. Maybe four, maybe five. Wonderful. Why don't you start and we'll go right down the row.
I'm standing in for my daughter, Laura. She'll be 31 on December 3rd.
My birthday is December 4th and I'll be moving.
Did you just say, that's what.
I'm Angela Evans. I think I'll be 22 on December 11th.
Melissa Opera, I'm the 20th. I'll be 59 years old.
Joan Rice, my birthday is December 30th.
So we have covered the month. Let's extend a hand toward them and ask God's blessing on the next year. Heavenly Father, for these folks, we ask that you would bless them with your provision and care during the next year, that they would experience just your peace through all the circumstances of their life, that you would guard and keep them and lead them to the opportunities that you have for them this year. And we ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Yes, we are. We're also doing anniversaries. And we should see smiles when we announce anniversaries, right? Go ahead again. And what year is it?
22 years.
Wonderful.
31 for Karen and I on the 26th.
Do you want prayer for that arm?
I should. See my doctor. On the 19th of this month, Jennifer and I will be married 38 years.
Wow.
With that in mind, I have known her for a little over half of my life, 51 years.
Wow.
And a
Did you know that this is being recorded? Let's pray for these couples. We give you thanks, O Lord, for your mercy in bringing together these folks to find their soulmate. And we ask for protection for their marriage. We pray for healing and restoration for Steve. And we give you thanks for what you have done in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job. We continue now by presenting our offerings to the Lord. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, that we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in the last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, and please join with me, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. We offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, O Lord, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray that you, gracious Father, send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now, please join with me as we pray the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive. did work out. I knew what you meant. So good. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing for today is from Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As you work your way through this Advent season, remember it's not the gifts that you give, it's the one gift that we receive, Jesus. Go in peace and serve the Lord.